during the break from people inside the White House. I'll be looking at during the next break. Kyle Serafin, incredibly smart person, former FBI agent, counterterrorism, huge whistleblower on the Epstein situation, Crossfire Hurricane, Obama treason, and this bomber they just caught. Now, AI was involved. But going back to Joseph Pepperoni, you sent a list of really important things to cover. We pretty much covered it all. Epstein Island, Ritual Ground Zero, the Temple of Moloch, symbolism, 13 bloodlines, ancient dynasty still in power, who they worship, fallen angels, sacrifice, ritual energy, Juliet Bryant, Survivor Testifies, hybrid God theory, plasma, AI, and CERN, ritual formula, building the synthetic deity, the final war. Let's talk about the final war. This is spiritual. And the final message, the people are the firewall.
Okay, so like we said, this is a spiritual war. It's not physical. So it's good versus evil. It's it. It's light. It's like it's light versus ritual darkness. All right. The courts and the politics, it's all theater. WWE distractions. It's like probably no one's gonna get arrested. We don't, you know what I'm saying? The system won't save us. But by exposing them, we can break the spell and save our soul, the soul of everybody. So all the faiths and all the myths, they all say the same thing. That we like basically it's a dark energy that we're up against. So when we unite, our energy multiplies and we can destroy the darkness. We can shine our light on the demons to destroy them, because you can't destroy them with violence. If you get violent, they get more powerful, because they feed off of that. And do not be afraid of them, because if you're afraid, that also feeds them. They're just these demons. They're just jealous of us, because like I was saying, we can ascend, but they can't. They're locked out. They cannot. They're stuck here. So they lust after your flesh. They want it, and they're locked out. They can't. They cannot get out of here. So they hate us because of that. And we're better than them. So we have been given the authority to trample on them like snakes. And that's what we got to do. We have to expose them by coming together and uniting. Stop debating and fighting over religion. It's divide and conquer. That's what they want. So that's really like we got to put that aside, because it's 6 months away from them doing this AI plasma CERN, merging it and creating this hybrid God. It's going to destroy us. It's not going to be good. It's going to be really, really dark times. We don't want to head towards that. We want to save everybody. So everyone just needs to unite, because if we don't, we're done. We're cooked. You know what I mean? That's what we got to do.
Well, I can't wait to see you do a report on Fritz Lang's 1927 Metropolis, because you didn't know about it. And I'm like, oh, you didn't know about it. I mean, like, we need to put your brain on this and do your own research, your own equations, then talk to ChatGPT and Grok and see what it says, because it's interesting to interface with it. And hopefully you'll do a report on this soon.
I will. I'm also doing like J.P. Morgan and the Disney princesses, some stuff on that I've been looking into. So that's good. That's really interesting stuff that it's going down the rabbit hole.
All right. Well, Joseph Pepperoni, very impressive. Whenever you get stuff, talk to us. Get my producers, give me my number, and let's stay in contact. Very impressive work.
Thank you so much for having me on. God bless you. You're the best.
How long have you been listening to the show?
Man, it's like 10 years, maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like a long time.
When did you get in the media? I just learned about you like 4 days ago.
Pretty recently, like a few months, like the Methylene Blue, really, I'm telling you, that's what did it for me. Like that's, you know what I mean?
I had no idea. I had listeners like, why aren't you having this guy on? I just learned about you 4 days ago. So, wow.
I mean, I was also like, my friend is George Papadopoulos, real close friends with him. So I suspected it was a hoax from day one. I knew for sure. So that's what sent me down the rabbit hole even further.
Wow. All right. Well, great job. Keep it up, brother. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Great, great reports. They're very accurate. I'm sure. He didn't even know about all this. It's like, wow, what a natural. All right. Kyle Serafin coming up.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the Methylene Blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or Ultimate Life Force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the Ultimate Burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the Optimal Human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because, folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
You are either with the Republic or against it. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
All right, here's President Trump yesterday, clip 11, saying, "You ain't seen nothing yet, what's about to come out." And I want to get Carl Serafin's take on, we've heard about these indictments forever for Crossfire Hurricane and Obama and the fake Russiagate. Nobody that I've talked to, whistleblowers, period, I've had on William Benny, who's amazing, so many NSA, FBI over the years. I mean, I remember having the head of the FBI crime lab on like 27, 8 years ago about them setting people up. I mean, I've interviewed a lot of whistleblowers. He has been so accurate. And 4 or 5 months ago, he said, "You're not getting the Epstein files." And then he went into it all and how they would set up Trump with horrible ideas, and they've done it. And now 18 days in, congressional hearings, Republicans vote for hearings. Then the Democrats want the actual files out of the court cases and grand jury sealed. And then we're going to get into this reported foiled terror plot that used AI. It's all coming up with Kyle Serafin. Again, he's also a popular podcaster. We'll go over all that information, how you find him. We'll put that on screen. But Kyle, what a crazy time. Things are moving so quickly. I see dueling internal government, I guess call it deep state battles, because Trump's trying to take over the deep state. So Trump's, you know, out here with, oh, treason, Obama, Clapper, Brennan, all that. And there's real evidence there, I see. And then you've also got all this Epstein and his incredible Streisand effect, acting guilty the last 18 days, telling his constituents, shut up, don't look at it. Now backing off that. Now Democrat judge appointed by Obama in Florida, trying to block Epstein information being released. This is clearly going to be the new big issue here, dueling issues. And the big question is, will this new strike force from the Department of Justice and the FBI actually indict Clapper, Brennan, Comey, or others, or is it all just smoke and mirrors? Kyle Serafin, former counterterrorism FBI agent and famous whistleblower, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Alex. Yeah, I'm a pessimist, so this is probably not going to be what people are excited to hear. But I have no belief that this is going to happen. Again, if you want to go do something, you go do it, and then you tell people when you did it. If you go look historically at the way that DOJ does their press releases, there's a few things they do press releases about. Number one, here's an indictment or an arrest. We put cuffs on this person. We have a criminal complaint. You can read that. We have a grand jury indictment. So go read that. Here's the press release. This is what we allege this person did. That's part one. Part two is we either got a plea deal and they pled guilty to the following, and we did a great job and we're really proud of ourselves, or we took it to court and we won. And then the third press release is always the sentencing. We asked for the following. The judge gave us this much. This person's going to do this much time behind bars, and America is safe, and we did a great job. That's what DOJ press releases are about. They're not about, we're assembling a team to investigate a thing that one day we will hopefully tell you something. I thought it was telling that they had Tulsi Gabbard go out and discuss the file drop. I mean, good on her for declassifying things. I think Tulsi, as far as I can tell, she seems genuine about it. My friend Steve Baker has been working with what's called the DIG. It's the Director's Initiative Group over at ODNI. And they apparently had this result or this report ready to go something like 30 or 40 days ago. So they were prepared, but it had to go through all the checks and balances, and they have to go through and make sure that they've declassified and you know, everybody gets to sign off on it.
Yeah, so folks said, was this released to cover up Trump's Epstein gaslighting? And from what I'd heard, yeah, this was being prepared. So I don't think that was overall the case. Or maybe they sped up its release because of that. Or what do you think?
No, from what my friend Steve says, and he's been telling me he's been meeting with folks in the DIG for a while now, and they had this ready to go 30 days ago, but there are all kinds of checks that have to happen before you take something that's been declassified and you bring it public. So they, again, all the equities, all the
different intelligence agencies. So not a distraction by Trump, this report came out.
That's the claim. You know, bad timing on their end. If they wanted to drop a bombshell, you don't do it usually on a Friday afternoon. They were not really playing the game really well on that. So, you know, maybe that's even more credibility that they weren't doing it to distract from anything. But at the end of the day, is it going to result in indictments? I think that's what Americans want to know. I think that's what people who are on the conservative side that think that this government's been working against us for a long time. The question is someone going to end up in handcuffs? Are they going to put the bracelets on them and march them out and then, you know, go out there and put them in front of either a trial or give them a plea offer? And I don't think there are. And the reason why is because you've got the Office of the Director of National Intelligence and Tulsi Gabbard as the DNI speaking about it. What you didn't see was a joint press conference, Alex. Where was Pam Bondi? Because you'd think if they declassified this and they've had 30 or 40 days run up, they knew what the information was going to be. They don't need to announce a strike force. They should be announcing that we've been conducting an ongoing investigation in parallel to the Directorate of National Intelligence, and we are prepared to start bringing some charges forward, not lawyer up messages from proxies and not you haven't seen anything yet and the shady bunch and memes. You'd expect that you had a joint press conference with two cabinet level officials or a cabinet and a sub cabinet level official going out there and saying, this is declassified. This is for your awareness. And by the way, the indictments are pending because we've already begun this, not an announcement that we're going to start investigating it 8 years after the fact. And using the word treasonous, I think, is actually really unfortunate, too, because Tulsi Gabbard used that because she's using it in a colloquial way that a lot of people use the term treason. But there's a legal definition of treason. And the last time the United States ever prosecuted somebody successfully for treason was in 1952. It's a wartime crime. So you'd have to make the allegation that there was a war, that there was aid and comfort given to an enemy. I don't think that exists.
Well, that might be because of China and the mail-in ballots. I've heard that's coming next.
You'd have to make a bunch of connections, and you'd have to also argue that the United States is at war with a country that we have not declared war on. Again, the last time we did it, it was a declared war in World War II.
And no, so good point. So let me ask you this question. Your predictions basically all come true. Unfortunately, I think you're probably right. It's just political. Let me ask you this then. Obama's coming out, Clapper, Brennan, they're all acting scared. Why are they acting scared? Or is it a response to just the PR of it? And then your view of Crossfire Hurricane and all these documents, because I forgot when I was filling you in on myself, we got from Sheriff Arpaio, 2017, NSA database front sheets where we were targeted. Bongino talked about similar things last year. I mean, I knew it happened. We've got more documents. You saw those, Obama targeting me 2013 with Comey. I don't mean to write myself in. I'm just in the middle of it. And CNN saying Jones is crazy. He says Trump spied on with the NSA. We told him back at the time, 2017. What do you think of Crossfire Hurricane and what they did overall? I mean, what is the crime? I know statute of limitations is there. Is there any crime we can charge them with?
I don't know if there is, because it's going to have to show an ongoing conspiracy and that the conspiratorial acts continue. The only person that I see that looks actually kind of concerned is Clapper. I've seen him come out and speak. And so watching his body language and kind of looking at the way that he has a little bit of pause and he actually outright stated it, I think on MSNBC last night, where he said, you know, I am concerned and I have retained counsel. And it makes you wonder, you know, look, they already weaponized our intelligence agencies against one side. They've already gone out there and they have arrested Donald Trump. So the pane of glass that we used to have historically in this country, it's been broken. And to think otherwise is crazy. There's no question in my mind that the two major turning points for the way that our intelligence apparatus works today, the first one was September 12th of 2001. And so things changed forever. The United States basically accepted a new definition of national security. And instead of trying to preserve the Constitution, they decided that no American dies from terrorism, which is sort of just the camel's nose under the tent, to be able to do ubiquitous surveillance of all people and do all kinds of crazy things, including look into you and, of course, look into me. And I actually just had Elon Musk announce, I think yesterday or the day before, that they won a court case about a gag order that they had investigating me and Garrett O'Boyle, another FBI whistleblower. So we know they've weaponized it.
Well, that's huge. I didn't know that. Oh, Elon Musk intervened in my case. The Democrats trying to shut me down 6 months ago. Yep. What happened with you?
So this is an ongoing case, and we may have talked about it previously, but they didn't actually put our names out there. It's in Elon's timeline at the moment. The crazy piece was that essentially the FBI started investigating. They took information to a grand jury. And not only did they look at my Gmail, which you and I have talked about, they also went looking for my social media, which I didn't start until after I left the FBI. And there's a really good separation between there. They went after all of that for some criminal case. It's not real clear to me. They didn't tell me what it was. And Elon Musk and X Corporation fought it in D.C., of all places, and actually just won in the Court of Appeals there. that they would be able to notify guys like me, guys like you, should the FBI go after there and request some of their social media data.
We just recently got notified after the fact from Google of new criminal investigations against us.
Exactly right. Yeah. So what they would normally do is they would put a gag order on it while they're investigating. They wouldn't tell you about it. What this Circuit Court of Appeals decision in D.C. said was that X Corporation actually has the right to go out there and notify us in real time if the FBI requests our information through a subpoena, that the government either has to provide significant information to keep it under wraps, or they have to tell us about it, or at least the corporation has the ability to tell us about it. And there's certain companies that have been really good about it. X has been good about trying to push forward for this. Of all things, T-Mobile was really, really good. If you ever lapsed for like a day in your paperwork on keeping something under wraps, they would go, including national security stuff, T-Mobile would notify their customers right away. So I don't know why they're the one, but they're the one that did. So for whatever it's worth, that's kind of an interesting thing. That second changeover, I think, happened probably in mid to late 2016 at the tail end of the Obama administration. They actually authorized something that most people are not aware of. They updated the national security collection priorities. It's under Executive Order 12333, and it allowed the FBI for the first time. So when I joined the FBI, this was already in effect. But for the first time in either September or October of 2016, the FBI got raw FISA material. And that was the lead up to why Crossfire Hurricane was so wild. They were allowed to basically take the NSA's database, which was constantly doing collections, but the NSA doesn't have any enforcement arm. They're just people that are looking, reading, assessing, and putting out reports on what they think is going on, you know, aggregate
collection.
But you're
now giving investigators without warrants whatever they want.
That's exactly right. And not only are they investigators without warrants, but they're people who have the ability to construct a criminal case if they see criminal activity because
parallel
they have a right
construction
to be in there. Exactly it. Yep. So that's the scariest thing that can happen. And the stuff that happened in Crossfire Hurricane, it hasn't been rectified. Nobody really.
So by the grace of God, how have you and I not been indicted? Because we don't obviously do anything wrong. I've got FBI guys, CIA caught on undercover tapes. Oh, we investigated for a decade, couldn't find anything. Well, no kidding. But it still doesn't mean I'm not nervous because they've indicted a lot of innocent people, Kyle.
No, you're exactly correct. And look, this is something that you got two options, Alex. And I think we probably both laid it on the same option. Option one is you walk around paranoid every day and you eventually lose your mind because you're looking over your shoulder. You think the government's coming for you at any moment. You know, my wife and I had the same conversation that probably everybody would when we went public with our whistleblower story. She goes, are the Clinton death squads coming for us? And I laughed it off and we both kind of chuckled. Then I put a rifle next to my bed before I went to sleep. And then the next day I started getting text messages from my buddies. They're like, hey, man, have you insulated? Do you have tripwires around your property? And I started going like, crap, like, is this really a probability? You can sit there and fixate on that and you can go down all the rabbit holes. And I'm a former surveillance guy. I did that for 3 years watching bad guys out in the wild. And when you do that, you get good at one, being a surveillance guy, two, seeing other people do surveillance. And the more good you are at it, sometimes you see what we call ghosts. You go out there and you think somebody's surveilling you because they're doing something. And if you don't watch them long enough to see them do, you know, whatever the normal activity was, you might think that you're being followed and you eventually kind of lose your mind.
The effect of constantly going, I better be good when I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm like, even though I know I'm not bad, I'm still like, oh, I got to be really good. I got to be really good. And I'm like, you know. You're doing a good job, accountants, right? You're making sure I'm overpaying taxes, right? You know, but away from us at the micro, let's go to the macro here. Your general assessment, which has been dead on so far, you were saying Trump and all of them being set up with bad advice. How the hell did they get him 18 days ago to come out? You and I said day one. You came on like day two of it. We said, no, he's behind it. You were like, are you sure? I said, yeah. He came out and said, yeah, I'm behind it. How would they get him to Streisand effect like this? And now he's partially backed off. Now the Democrat judge doesn't want the Epstein stuff released in the first case. From all your sources and your just overall gestalt of this dead reckoning, Kyle Serafin, you've been really accurate so far. I know you're speculating, but or maybe you're not from sources. I haven't talked to you other than text in a week. What is going on with Trump? And now the congressional hearings, the Republicans are coming now. What is going on?
It seems like they're trying to throw a wet blanket on it. It seems like they said, hey, we're going to give you, look, remember the first time that they did this, they came out and said, give us a couple of weeks. We're going to give you this wave of transparency. You know, in a couple of days, you're going to see all this stuff. Now,
how
we're promising
did you say
that
4 months ago to me privately, and then 3 months ago on air, we're not getting Epstein files.
It just was obvious to me because they were extending the deadline and they were trying to run out the clock. I mean, they're treating this in some ways. You got a lot of media people in Trump's orbit, a lot of media people in Trump's cabinet and the sub-cabinet people. You know, Bongino's a media guy. Patel's a media person. Even Bondi has a sense of being on Fox enough times that she understands what the media cycle's like. And if you can get people to just pay attention to something else, if you can do it like a laser pointer where you just shine the dot somewhere else and people attack
sure,
that,
so the
they're going
to
move on.
The question is, why did Trump try to gaslight us?
I think that they overestimated the play that they had because you've got people that are very popular. You had folks from both sides of the aisle, whether it be an RFK Jr., you had a Tulsi Gabbard, you know, convert from the Democrat side. You've got guys like Dan Bongino out there messaging about Epstein. When you have those people, they have a cult of following where people trust them. And I think they overestimated how much trust these people had. I think they just missed the boat on how much Americans are not satisfied with our institutions, that we don't give anybody a carte blanche. By the way, the way that you get credibility in any space, and you do it and I do it, and I know Dan Bongino used to do it. You tell people, don't trust me, trust the results. Go look for the quote unquote receipts. Go find the documents, the paperwork that backs it up. So if you're out there telling people that I'm going to show you something and you don't show it to them, and then you do it again and you don't show it to them, at some point in time, we think the musician doesn't have his trick in order, right? He's just not able to pull it off. And so I think that's why they went for the grand jury information. They floated that because they know they're not going to get that, not in New York and not in Florida. It doesn't matter if it's a Trump appointed judge or a Democrat judge.
And then they can say, see, we asked for it and they didn't.
Yeah,
so what do you make of the Republicans joining Democrats in a vote yesterday to go ahead with subpoenaing the DOJ and Congress?
Which is also irrelevant because, listen, there's a dozen ways, as you know, if you go out and FOIA the FBI, there's a law that says they got to give you stuff. If you go FOIA stuff from the CIA, they're supposed to give you stuff, but there's 11 different exceptions or 14 different FOIA exceptions. So they use all of them. And they're going to do the same thing on the subpoenas. They're going to claim national security. They're going to claim ongoing investigation. They're going to claim sources and methods. At the end of the day, the files that exist at the FBI belong to the executive branch. So Congress can say whatever the hell they want and they can't compel it.
Okay, so
they're
not going to be able to get it. Question then, why did Trump do the worst possible Streisand effect? You predicted it before it happened. You said they're going to be given bad advice to cover up.
Yeah, there's two possibilities. Either someone deliberately misled him or he overestimated his ability to pull people with him just on strength of personality.
Sure, so why cover it up? Do you think Trump's done something wrong?
I still don't at the end of the day. I don't think it's there because I think it would have been leaked a long time ago. But I do bet that the more that he does this, it more indicates that there's probably some sort of peripheral smear that would go on. The idea that somebody went in and doctored the documents. Alex, you got to believe two very contradictory things to think that the DOJ altered documents to incriminate Donald Trump, but they didn't alter the documents that would incriminate Brennan and Clapper and Comey and all these guys, that they left evidence laying around to go and get themselves caught. So that doesn't make any sense to me. But what could happen is Donald Trump is pointed in some unfavorable light. And simply being associated with this man, Jeffrey Epstein, at this point, it's political kryptonite. It's, you know, everybody is
emotional. No, I totally
emotional,
agree. That's what I said 2 weeks ago. I figured this out 3 or 4 days in. It was my speculation seeing it. It's a recycle of 2016 that Melania's a hooker, which we know wasn't true.
Yep.
Under Epstein, a modeling agency, which wasn't true. The Jane Does that weren't real. And then Trump goes and gets the files. They come back in May. I think the Wall Street Journal's accurate and say, you're in it. He just throws a fit and says, shut it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like I said, touching it is absolutely the worst case scenario. And he did the worst thing you could do, which would have just been ignoring it. Unfortunately, he started talking about it. He called people weaklings.
Well, you and
I
said that, what, 3 months ago when Bongino and Patel, during the headlights, looked like hostages, go on TV. And I said then, that's Trump ordering him to do that. I mean, they'd already, well,
yes.
we now know in May when they did that, they had brought the files back and said, sir, you're enemy. And they dutiful soldiers went out and did that. So now we pretty much know.
You know
what
the worst thing is, though, Alex? The worst is that apparently Pam Bondi didn't get that message because she was out there touting it over and over again about the tens of thousands of hours. And, you know, there is material there, whether you like it or not. I've talked to my guys after the fact. They're not political. They're not. There's material that exists. But a lot of the stuff that they were doing was using AI to scrub through and try to, like, redact victim names and so on and so forth. So they were trying to do the thing that is required by federal law. And Bondi was out there promising something. You could tell that when Patel and Bongino were on Fox News, the multiple interviews, both together and separately, Neither of them wanted to touch it because they knew what the marching orders were. They knew they weren't supposed to talk about it. And they knew at the end of the day, they were going to really disappoint a podcast audience and people that they've been talking to for years.
Sure. That's why their body language was like they were walking a plank. So
that's right.
It's almost endearing of Trump, though. And I'm not an apologist. I'm telling what I really think, that it's so badly coordinated. If it was really a cover up, it wouldn't be such a Keystone Cop.
That's a good argument. I like to think that Trump is smarter than that. I mean, he's the oldest he's ever been, so we got to be honest about that. People do make mistakes. They do misread the room on occasion. Everyone's done it. So he could do that. You'd think that he's got smarter people around him.
So can Trump recover from this? And then what would be the right thing for Trump to do?
The right thing is still the right thing. It was the same right thing that it should have been a long time ago. They should have a press conference with the right people. You should have Bongino and Patel. You should have Bondi there. You should probably bring in the evidence technicians that grabbed it. You should bring in people from previous administrations if they're willing to come down and do it as long as it takes. A couple hours, have the Office of General Counsel sit there and vet, in and out of bounds. We can't talk about this because of the following reason. But let people ask all the questions they have and let them wear it out. It's the same thing you do when your kid's throwing a temper tantrum. You let them wear it out. It's like, okay, fine. Bring all your questions. We're going to be as transparent as humanly possible. We're going to put all the people in front of you. You're not going to want to air this whole thing. It's going to be boring television. And we're going to tell you yes, no, in and out of bounds. Here's the evidence tech that gathered it. Here's the person that checked it in. Here's the agent that did the interviews. This is what they saw. This is what they didn't see. There are no co-conspirators. There are some, but they were not, implicated in any meaningful way. We couldn't get a positive ID on someone we thought might have been involved. Whatever. Just bring
and
those
that's
people
the problem.
Out
Trump never apologizes or admits he's wrong. It's also part of his strength. But he has to understand that when he came out and attacked his constituents and said, you're not part of MAGA if you do this, there's nothing here. He's come out and say, hey, I want to clarify. I'm not saying Epstein wasn't bad. I'm saying that all this hype of me connected and all this other stuff, that is another Democrat hoax. He needs to do that because that slap in the face for his constituents is not going away.
I agree. Again, the two people that are running the Bureau right now went out and talked about it a lot for several years. I think that's problematic. And then they got on the right sheet of music when they started working there. Maybe they looked in and said, holy crap, we convicted a woman of crimes that happened 21 years ago. We have no evidence of it continuing. Maybe that's the case. Like, I don't know. We haven't seen the entire thing. And then you have an attorney general that was actually throwing more gasoline on the fire saying that, the list is on my desk and I'm about to release it and you're going to be shocked. And Huma Abedin said the whole thing. So you've created this bizarre, like left hand's not explaining to the right hand what the play is. And so they've played against each other and you got chaos. And I know it's upset people like Owen. It upset me looking at it. It just looks like it's very poorly planned. Maybe that's the genius of it, Alex. Maybe you're right. Or maybe they just screwed up, which happens.
No, I don't think it's genius. I mean, all I know is it sucked all the oxygen out of the room for everything else that's going on, and people are not letting it go. When people are told, mm-hmm. shut up, it doesn't go away. We're going to go to break here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't make it go away because there's three things that are involved. It's the instinct that there's injustice and that the rich and the elite have a different sense of justice. The idea that there may be corruption and people who are very powerful have access to tools or government. And the last thing is that you've hurt children. And so when you put hurting kids, corruption, and elite, tiers of justice put together, all of those things are, you can't take that away. You can't make Americans unsee that after you've been talking about it for years. So they're not going to just let it go.
So when we come back, I want to move into other subjects. We have the Democrats with Republicans voting to subpoena all this. And we have this becoming even a bigger issue if that's possible. And then we have all these other activities and, things that Trump is saying and doing. I want to talk to you about how you see this ending or if there's any way to get out of this. Because even Rasmussen polling is very respected. So this has already hit Trump. Massive point loss for the Republican Party.
There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet or whether it's the modern day atmosphere or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone who wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? Just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all of that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier, S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, and talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like, if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you ask me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ. Black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I think we knew it before, in all fairness, Tulsi. But now you have certainty. She has all the documents. She has everything that you need. And she found out that Barack Hussein Obama led a group of people and they cheated in the elections. And they cheated without question. It's not even a quote. Would you say there's even a little question there, Tulsi? She says no. And you found things that nobody thought we'd ever find. And very happy and very honored to have you with us. She's right now, by far, Speaker. She's hotter than you right now, Speaker. She's the hottest person in the room right now, Speaker. So, Tulsi, great job. And I know you have a lot more coming. She told me you've seen nothing yet. So I heard those rumors about you, but now I know they're true. So we're very proud of you, Tulsi. They cheated so badly, and ultimately it led to a loss in 2020 And it shouldn't have been a loss. It was a big victory. We won by a lot. We had to do it again. But if I thought we lost, I would never have run again. And this is a far more consequential election than it would have been if we did. That's the only thing I can say in favor of it. But we can't ever let that happen again to our country. Look at what happened in terms of inflation, in terms of so many things. But most importantly, maybe in terms of allowing millions and millions of people into our country that we shouldn't have.
It's so crazy what we've been through and how epic this has been. And then to see Trump jump into a bear trap and what he's done. We'll get into some other issues that are breaking, Kyle, that you want to get into and I want to get into as well. But first, big picture, what do you think this does to the Trump admin? The polls show that he was bucking the trend of a new incumbent president, and then almost always whoever the party that's incumbent and winning the general election loses the House, probably the Senate too. Rasmussen shows that trending. It's bounced back some, but he really took bucking the trend and flushed it with whether he came up with that or whoever gave him the advice. Looking at all this, how could Trump extricate himself from this, or what do you see happening?
What kind of confuses me is you went out and did a press conference. Again, if you don't capitalize on that, if you don't go, he campaigned on lock her up with Hillary Clinton and then sort of relented when he went in the first term and said, we're not going to go after Hillary and that's the wrong thing to do. We saw the exact opposite thing happen when Biden got into office, right? He went after Donald Trump and knew that that would be his political rival. So they made that the real problem. I'm really curious how Tulsi Gabbard was able to find this stuff in 6 months in being in office. When the previous DNI, the last guy that held that job, is now in charge of the CIA and they didn't go looking for it or find it in 2020. I don't know why would that be? How did it happen that our previous director of national intelligence didn't go looking for this stuff? And why is it available now? Is it a focus thing? There needs to be some explanations. You know, you can't make the allegation that the previous administration, because people are acting like Donald Trump wasn't president from 2017 to 2020. I don't know why they're acting like that, but those of us who lived through it remember he was there. He didn't get it right. So what is he getting right? Is he de-weaponizing this animal? Is he fixing it? I see guys like Ed Martin talking about it, and he's at a much lower level at DOJ. There are a couple of people that are mouthing the right things. But if you're going to de-weaponize this intelligence agencies, then you got to start by splitting them. So if he wants a big win, he should be investigating who are the bad actors within these agencies, not the big names, the people that are mechanically making it happen. And then he also needs to take the intel component completely away from the FBI so that they can't come after us again. Because at the end of the day, guys like you and me, we're most concerned that the FBI is going to come knock down our door.
And that's not something that the Cash NSA Patel promised to do. He didn't say close the FBI headquarters. He said, get rid of the intelligence component.
He said, I want to break out the intel component. And the advice that I gave him personally was go give it back to ODNI. Give it back to the Director of National Intelligence and let them run intel and not be underneath the FBI's payroll. And more importantly, don't let them share intel in the same way. Look, the threats that the FBI is constantly thwarting, they're constantly over, like they hype every single time that they have a win. And those wins aren't that big, Alex. The one in New York is the one we can talk about in a minute.
Let's talk about that in a moment. But so bottom line,
they need to get rid of this intel. That's what's going to kill us. It's people having unauthorized, unconstitutional access to our private information, whether you be the president of the United States or whether you be an individual guy or you be a podcaster or a TV person. It doesn't make a difference. We should have a Bill of Rights that actually means something to law enforcement, and they shouldn't have an end around.
You're talking about bringing back
intel
the Fourth Amendment, but instead with AI, it's getting worse. So your prediction for the Trump administration on the current trajectory?
I think they probably do lose it unless something dramatic happens. Look, if they slap cuffs on Obama and they actually go out there and they have a solid case, like, yeah, people are going to be thrilled. You're going to get a bunch of people that are saying, well, you said something and you followed through. But what we haven't seen is that follow through. So I don't like to predict the future because I don't know what cards they're holding. But what I've watched them do in the last 6 months is overpromise and underdeliver. They need to switch those around. They need to change up their business model so that they are underpromising and delivering way more than people expect. And then they can also get some wins on, you know, the financial situation. Like, you know, gas is more expensive here in Texas again. It went down. It's gone back up. There's some transient costs that are still continue to go up. Housing is totally unaffordable right now. My cousin sent me a graph from Zero Hedge that showed that now new housing is actually cheaper than existing housing. So people who live in houses can't turn and sell them. It's actually cheaper to buy a brand new house that they're building. None of that makes any sense. So we've got some real problems in like affordability. If you want to deliver what you said, the quote unquote golden era, you shouldn't be doing it with memes and eagles that are throwing, you know, dollar bills on people. You should go out there and let people go and realize, hey, I have more money than I had last month or the month before, or as we move into our midterms in a year, they should be looking around and saying, yeah, I'm financially in better shape. I can afford housing that I couldn't afford before, blah, blah, blah. Like real wins that people can feel. Otherwise, you're just doing messaging. Messaging doesn't win. I don't think it lasts long enough because people can still look at their bank accounts.
What do you think the Democrats and the real deep state are going to do if they're able to win the House and Senate, and then if they got back in power in 3.5 years? I mean, they've said they're coming after everybody.
I mean, I have no reason to doubt them. I already saw what they did the first time. They broke panes of glass that should have been protecting us from a lot of evil out there. We had a near assassination on Donald Trump. You know, that was a hit. He got hit in the head. That was probably a millimeter or two away from one of the scariest situations, which is that we live in a country where if you don't like somebody and you don't like their politics, that you go kill them. And that was really, really close to being the reality of it. Now, somebody attempted it. The fact that they didn't, by the grace of God only, we didn't fall into whatever that black hole is, because we've done all the other banana republic stuff. You know, we've arrested political leaders. We've had politicization of our Justice Department. We've decided that we're going to go after people for religion, which is expressly forbidden in our Bill of Rights. Like, this is like fundamental American freedoms have been trod upon. And I wouldn't think anything else. I think that whenever the Democrats are playing, they play to win. And you can at least respect them for always pushing, even when it's against their own interest. They keep pushing because they're progressives. They do progressive work. It seems like Republicans just like to lose more slowly. So Donald Trump is more of a brake pedal or a speed bump than he is a U-turn. And I don't see the U-turn. I'd like to see the U-turn. That would make me very happy, because I've got little kids that are going to go out into this world, and it doesn't look like I'm giving them the same sort of, you know, life that I grew up with. Hulk Hogan just passed today, and I grew up watching American heroes do kind of wild things, like ultimately American things, like big, muscly guys doing entertainment and telling you good messages, like say your prayers and take your vitamins and work out and be a good person and be a good neighbor. And like, that's not the messaging that kids are getting right now. So I would love to see us return to something where we thought we were the good guys.
Your parents are evil. America's horrible.
Right. This is one of the first generations where they're actually seeing that. What's crazy is that Gen Z is starting to see through some of this as well. I saw a poll today from my friends over at Catholic Vote. They do a news newsletter in the mornings. It said 1 in 4 Gen Z, whatever, Gen Zers are dissatisfied with the fact that they went to college, that they bought into this thing. And so you're seeing kind of a swing back towards trades. I think people are seeing a swing back towards, you know, rationality, because not everybody needs to go to college. A lot of people went to college and found that it wasn't useful to them. And Gen Zers are seeing it really quick as they go into the job market. So, you know, there's got to be some kind of a correction. And hopefully it's a correction about rationality. My hope is that young people are not getting irritated with Donald Trump because Donald Trump is too conservative for him, for them, probably him, if we're being honest. It's probably young men. I hope that they're like, he's not conservative enough.
I can tell you, it's because he's not hardcore enough. I don't need to see polls.
It ought to be.
He's not hardcore enough. So looking at this then, this current case, New York man charged for attempting to use improvised explosive devices in Manhattan. And here's the charging document you just sent us. It just came out in the last 10 minutes. And then we've also got reports that he was trying to use AI to do it. So what's really going on with this case?
Yeah, it's real. It's a real buzzy headline. So at the end of the day, Alex, what we're looking at is that the FBI director shared this on his social media. The FBI touts every single what we'll call counterterrorism win, and they want to make it sound as good as possible. So what's the threat? AI is one of them, that he used AI. Essentially, what he did is he went into Google and he just typed it into Google, and Google spits out an answer using some sort of, you know, AI or ChatGPT. How do I make a bomb? How can I mix the right chemicals to create flash powder and so on and so forth? So that's what he did. It was really not sophisticated at all. And any monkey who has a keyboard and a screen could have done it, but it sounds good. So they did that. The second thing is what he actually produced, which was like 7 improvised explosive devices, which were essentially glorified fireworks. And they weren't even that powerful for fireworks. The most powerful firework that he created was a 30-gram explosive device, 30 grams of powder in it. And I've actually seen videos. You can go out there, people can look on YouTube right now and find them. And people will try to blow up a tree, and it won't even blow off a tree limb, let alone the entire tree, with a 30-gram, you know, gunpowder explosive. So you've got this sort of goofy scenario where they're hawking this great win. This guy had improvised explosives. The best part of it for me is if you read far enough down into the complaint and you read what happened, the guy called somebody on a taped line and told them what he was going to do. He told some other witness, like, we got problems in our neighborhood. Look, there's a Jewish school over there. So you get to get an anti hate speech type statistical accomplishment that they're going to claim. And then the last thing is he blew up one of these fireworks, told his friend, oh, that was really scary, I'm going to go get rid of them. He tried to throw two of them off the bridge, but one ended up getting locked on the tracks of a train. And then the other ones, he was actually arrested while he was en route to the fire department.
So
to
is this just a mentally
devices.
Ill attention seeker, or could this be a...
It's a dummy. Yeah, he's a guy who's in his 50s who, they cited two posts he made on social media that were 5 weeks apart, Alex. One of them said, play like there's no tomorrow, whatever the hell that means. And the other one said, Donald Trump, you should have built a wall, but now we got all these people here, which is objectively true. You got a lot of people that are illegally in New York. So it's acting like it's a big win, but if that's the biggest win they have, the FBI doesn't actually go and interrupt major counterterrorism things all the time, because that's what they're out there touting. It's not impressive.
So looking at this, and going back to Crossfire Hurricane, that clip we played coming into the segment of Trump saying, oh, something really big's coming. My takeaway is he keeps begging Bondi to indict somebody. He keeps begging Cash Patel. He keeps begging. And then at least Tulsi will release a bunch of hardcore stuff that, as you said, Ratcliffe wouldn't do before. And so he's pleading with them to do their jobs.
So there was a lot of chatter coming down from DOJ, folks that I've been talking to, that said that there was this desperate urge, give us someone that we can indict so we can change the news cycle up. Like, we need a win. What have you got? And this is the argument. Okay, so Crossfire Hurricane is weaponization of intelligence. It's raw intelligence used against a political campaign and then eventually the sitting president. So that lets you know that things are completely off the rails when it comes to what people should be doing with these tools. This story in New York is evidence that even with all of the crazy collection that they can do and querying directly of the NSA's database through FISA 702, the software is called the Data Warehouse System, DWS. And so they can query directly into places that they should not be able to do. They could look into it without a warrant. And the best win that they have in the counterterrorism space, which is what the FBI tells you, they're out there protecting America and keeping, New York City from going boom.
Is some guy
LARPing?
The boom
was a firework. It was a freaking firework that was 30 grams. You can get bigger fireworks here in Texas. You can get it probably right now down the street from you in Austin. So that's not that impressive. And that should actually be the evidence that the FBI director needs. It should be the evidence that Donald Trump pushes down and says, look, if this is the scariest thing that you guys can find with all the tools you have, maybe you don't need these tools. Maybe we take this stuff away so that they don't use it on me whenever I'm out of office, because they used it previously.
And
so
now
that would
they
be
say,
the tie-in
oh,
that I would
the
make.
TSA is not going to take your shoes off. We're just going to biometrics and AI total control.
Yeah, I actually saw a really horrific DHS video put out the other day. It was some lady in sexy shoes walking around and dancing because she doesn't have to take her shoes off. It's like, look, we had to take our shoes off for a quarter of a century. The terrorists won. They made us inconvenienced. They made us not be able to see our loved ones come off the jetway when they come off a plane. I mean, I remember it and you remember it. You used to be able to walk off the plane and hug the people that you were waiting to see. You can't do that anymore. Now there's the secured area. And if anyone's ever done this and seen the audits, TSA fails all the audits. They fail at like a 90%+ rate, to the point where they won't put those out anymore. And now what are they going to do? They're going to give you more sophisticated tools that somebody's not going to be able to use, but they're going to grab all your biometrics. They're going to be able to put those in a database.
And it becomes an internal checkpoint for the social credit score like China has.
That's exactly it. You know what? And it's a perfect thing, because most people don't opt out. I'm one of the few guys, Alex, every single time I go into the airport, I tell them I must have the face that says it, because they actually guess it about me now. But I have a face that says I'm not going to submit to an extra photograph for no reason. And they give you this dirty look like you're somehow making their life worse.
I flew out a couple weeks ago and I walk up and I go, I'm not doing this. You don't have to. And it's not the law. And then after the guy goes, hey, like your show. And then the woman behind me goes, I opted out. I forgot to do it. By the way, I love your show. So it does show how many people are awake, even the TSA person, the one behind me, but people aren't saying no.
No, people don't say no because, honest to God, it's the same thing we saw during COVID. It's just basic compliance. Somebody from a government, somebody wearing the right uniform or with a little shiny piece of plastic or metal told me to do something, so I go do it. It doesn't mean you should. I mean, that's the thing we need to demand of our citizenry is that you be citizens. Don't be subjects. You have rights. You should know what they are. If you don't, someone's going to trot on them, and they already have. They've trod on a bunch of them. So the more that we can share the information, obviously, your InfoWars is very well named. The information war oftentimes is just getting people information so they stand up for their own rights, because half the time they just roll over and they do what they're told. And they don't need to do that. You don't need to have your picture.
What is your report card of good Trump's doing? You know, they're pulling out of the WHO regulations. They have pretty much secured the border. They're trying to ramp up border enforcement. A lot of the super right wingers say, oh, it's not as good as under Obama, well, because they dismantled it. I mean, what are the good things Trump's doing?
The best thing, I think, is that he's got some smart people in there that you're not hearing anything about. Like, go look at the Department of Energy that's starting to get stuff done. You've got Chris Wright, who went in there and uncovered, I think it was like $90 billion worth of fraudulent movement of money in the last...
$92 billion, yeah.
Some crazy amount of money. You've got smart people that understand those systems that actually work in that industry. And generally speaking, I've had people say that when Wright, Secretary Wright's actually sitting and testifying, he's the smartest guy in the room on the topic.
No, I was about to say one of the big wins is cutting the straight up fraudulent funding.
Yeah. And look, the USAID thing, the fact that they even identified this to people and people started realizing what it was. I had a discussion and I've gotten a lot of favorable comments from folks that watch my program. I had a Tanzanian priest come in and beg for money for wells and sponsoring some of their seminarians in a country that has 68 million people that nobody I've ever met has ever been to. And we give $680 million a year in non-military funding there. And the total amount of money the United States contributes through all the NGOs and everything else is like $2.8 billion. We give $2.8 billion a year to Tanzania, which does nothing for us. And meanwhile, we've got homeless vets down the street from you and I that are dying, that are overdosing, that have nowhere to live. So we can't take care of Americans, but we're willing to give money to wells that don't function a year later. So I think bringing awareness to just, we all knew how bad it was in our own sense because you hear about the crazy things that they fund, but the sheer volume of it and then how that money actually goes back and benefits people that are corrupt, that's been a great opening eye point. But again, opening eyes is part one, then stopping it and cutting it and getting it done and actually pulling it out of our budget for the future would be nice.
Sure,
I'd also
sure,
like to see Mike Johnson do something.
I agree.
Go ahead.
In closing, from your sources, your research, what happened with Musk? Because people are, you know, like, oh, we choose Trump over Musk or whatever. Most people, to me, I didn't see that as a choosing a beauty pageant or something. I think Doge was very popular. I think Musk was doing a good job overall. And you know, I mean, after he took over X, Twitter, all that, I'm just really upset about the Musk thing because I think he was a good asset for Trump in America.
I agree. I think that I think Musk is a do guy. He goes out there and he accomplishes things sometimes at a net loss until he's able to do it. Then they streamline. They do things that nobody else is doing. Again, they're landing rockets on their butts, right? And they're flying them in and catching them with chopsticks. So that's pretty wild to try to apply that to government where everything is a compromise and everybody is trying to get something out of it. You know, that's probably the most frustrating place he could be. I think he left because he wasn't going to be effective at the thing that he promised. And I don't think he likes being unsuccessful at stuff. I think Elon Musk, from where, you know, when he puts his mind to it, he gets stuff done, whether or not it makes sense for everybody right up front, whether or not it's profitable up front. And, you know, why would you stick around if you knew that, hey, here's all the waste, here's what we should do, and there's no mechanism and there's no willingness to go and accomplish the things that you said? You're just going to be someone who's promising something you can't do. You know, unlike the sort of Epstein situation where they overpromised and underdeliver, I think he overpromised, saw they weren't going to deliver, and he just said, okay, well, that's it. I'm done. If you're not going to let me be successful, why would you stick around? And I don't hate that at all, but I don't think it's an either or thing. I, you know, Elon Musk has done great things. It, just in the Serafin House, the fact that they went out and fought this free speech case, I think that's critical. That's one of our fundamental rights.
Oh, they tried to
rights.
Take my social media. He stood up for me in court. Didn't even ask him.
Yeah. And look, that all of that is the right answer. So I think at the end of the day, Elon Musk, he's not religious in the same way I am. I'm sure we have a lot of things that we would disagree on. I've never met the guy, so I have no reason to feel one way or another other than he does seem to align with certain principles. I'm down with that. Trump has his own sort of thing. Trump has become more and more political, whether people like it or not. He's a politician now. He has to work in a space where there's compromises. You know, he went out and put the big, beautiful bill out. But if you remember, the entire reason that Mike Johnson is the speaker in the House is because they were going to do single subject appropriations bills. If you want to see the single biggest thing that would turn it for me,
Do single subject bills.
Oh, they should all be very short. No more omnibus bills. I agree. Kyle Serafin.
That's what they said, but they're not doing it. So
everybody can find you at the Kyle Serafin Show. Locals.com, at Kyle Serafin on X, KyleSerafinShow.com, Rumble.com, Kyle Serafin. Kyle, thank you so much for joining us. Great analysis. You've been dead on about the Trump stuff.
Thanks for having me on, Alex.
Thank you. Look, I need Trump to succeed. Overall, he's doing a great job in many areas, but PR-wise, they've now made this Epstein thing a big distraction. And I agree with Kyle. I don't think there's anything real there. They would have already used it. And I just say release it all and burn down the deep state. But I wouldn't hold your breath because there's institutions trying to defend themselves. Owen Schroyer is about to take over from the War Room, 3 to 6 p.m. You'll find his feeds at InfoWars.com/show. Refed, obviously, on the InfoWars feed and Alex Jones Network feed at Real Alex Jones on X and radio stations, TV stations across the country. I can't do this without you. I didn't even get into the law firm headed up by Kamala Harris's husband coming in to take over the lawfare cases against us because they're losing. We are truly David fighting Goliath. I could have done a whole show on this, but I didn't even talk about it today because we have bigger fish to fry. Just go get some great T-shirts and ball caps. Just go get the best methylene blue. You've heard the rave reviews. You're crazy if you don't get it. Get our IRC moss. It's amazing. Get the Shilajit. It's game-changing. We have a sale that ends Tuesday. The bombshell sale. A bottle of the very best Shilajit out there. Already discounted. Get a bottle free. The amazing IRC moss complex. Get a bottle free. And the capsules of ultramethylene blue and the liquid tincture. Very same product. Medical grade. Buy one, already discounted, get one free at thealexjonesstore.com. We've sold out about 60% of the daggers. This is the coolest dagger we've had yet, limited edition, engraved with 1776, and my signature, double-edged stainless steel, highest quality, very hard combat rubber grip, and a very high-tech sheath that clips in so it doesn't come out, clips on your belt buckle or your pants, and it goes in your purse, wherever. It is amazing. It will defend you and your family, and when you purchase it, it defends the First Amendment, and the important work we're doing here comes in a beautiful collector's case that's selling out quickly at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank the great folks at Bigley for putting that dagger out. I asked them about 6-7 months ago to find the best. I found that. They got it. And that dagger sells all day for $30 more than we sell it, but we bought so many of them, we got a big discount, so we can sell them for $70-something. We still make a profit to fund this operation. So it is a high-quality tactical dagger with scabbard and clip. It is amazing. And it is something everybody needs to get at thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, you've heard the rave reviews, methylene blue, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., all of it. I got on it 6 years ago off and on, didn't have much effect because they said it was USP. It wasn't. My doctor wasn't selling you just to get any USP grade. We tried 5 or 6 different brands. This is totally different. Bigley did a great job finding a real medical grade group out of Florida that supplies it for medical systems, you name it, for other things they use it for. It is incredible. Cleans out your cells. Gives you sustained clarity and focus energy without a letdown. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And become a VIP. For $30 a month, you can cancel any time on your profile. You get $40 to spend each month at the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Everything's discounted when you do that. Everybody should be a VIP. I want to thank those that are VIPs. And any supplement you're worried is going to sell out, which happens routinely, become a subscriber, get a bigger discount, cancel any time, and then have it held back for you every month or every 2 months. You click how long. By becoming a subscriber for AutoShip at thealexjonesstore.com. Great job to the crew. So much more coming today. Be sure and watch InfoWars for special reports I'll file. God bless you all. Owen Schroyer takes over now.
Just got in my methylene blue, ultra methylene blue USP grade from thealexjonesstore.com. And I've heard all the rants and raves about this. Real interested to see how I'm going to feel. I'm going to do a third dropper and then some water right now. And I am going to see, that's plenty. Maybe that's a little bit more. I'm going to mix this up. And pretty excited to see how this is going to work. So after I fully drink this, I will let everybody know the effects of, hopefully, of what is the unlimited power. What's going on, Xers? Jay Rocket here. Just giving y'all an update. It's been an hour past doing the one dropper of the
ultramethylene blue, USP grade, with a alexjonesstore.com. Currently at the gym right now, and it's hard to explain what I feel, other than I do feel the mental clarity. I don't have any cloudy thoughts. My focus seems relaxed, but very on point. And the energy kind of feels clean. No jittery, things like that. I haven't really felt any tingling or anything. Maybe if I'll probably take an extra dropper next time. This is on an empty stomach as well. So definitely feel just cool, calm, and collected, but very focused, very centralized. It's a very calm zen feeling. So if you haven't gotten to try this stuff yet, y'all need to go to the alexjonesstore.com and get your methylene blue today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.